Here comes the. Here comes the. Here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like that.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment Live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Trish and Eric and Kathleen. And Eric and Kathleen have not left. They must like the show.
We can't leave, Dave.
Oh, that's they're hostages. I can't believe it.
He's the engineer.
But I bet you would stay if you could leave.
Oh, I'm still staying after you leave.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, you're right. That's right, actually. So anyway, Sedona Film Festival coming up the 19th. It starts for about 9 days, and I really, really, really encourage people. Get down there. I mean, Phoenix people should be easy to get down there. It's an hour and a half at most. And
even if you can't stay for the whole time, you can go online and they've got what films they have showing when, and you can pick and choose some of the ones we've talked about. There's going to be an incredible concert. Actually, two incredible concerts, because the first one on Friday night sold out and they've opened up a second show on Saturday.
Yeah, for Chicago.
Yes, the group Chicago.
Mm-hmm. It's actually, what's their official name, do you think? See if you know that. I bet Eric knows that. Official name for Chicago.
The band?
Yeah.
Chicago?
It's Wild Onion.
No. Chicago Transit Authority. That's what they were called.
Originally.
Just teasing.
Yeah. Chicago Transit Authority. And I think most people know them. They've had a lot of hits. Eric, you grew up with them, right?
Yeah, when you could buy vinyl, I had all their albums.
Which one did you like the best? What song?
I like If You Leave Me Now.
Yeah, that's excellent. How about I'm a Man? That's a good one.
I'm not a big fan of that one, but I like Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
In the Park.
How about Beginnings?
I'd have to hear it.
Oh, I forgot that one. Color My World. Oh, how about this one? 25 or 6 to 4?
Yeah, that one's all right.
That was a pretty good one. And they we'll talk about how they came up with that title. It is actually a song about writing the song. That's how that happened. And I can't remember which band member actually wrote that song. Several of them wrote quite a few songs.
What's it called?
25 or 6 to 4. There's a meaning behind that.
Oh, I'm going to Wikipedia it.
Ooh, it'll probably talk about that.
Well, you know, I Wikipedia what Chicago derived from, and it was telling me that it was a Native American word, Chicacawa, which means wild onion. That's why I said that.
Really?
I didn't know you meant about the band.
Yeah. It was written by Robert Lamb.
Okay, he was one of the premier writers, and song about writing a song. We'll go over that when Peter Kurz, Pardini, director, calls in. Do You Believe in Me? Saturday in the Park. Some of these great hits, Just You and Me. Remember that one? That was a good one. Call on Me, If I Leave You Now. That was a good one, right?
Leave me now, you take away the biggest part of me.
That, you know, if I had to rewrite that, I would say, if you leave me now, you take away the biggest part of you.
If you leave me now, can I come too?
No, isn't that funny? Come on, I thought it was funny. If you leave me now, you're taking away the biggest part of you. Okay, you don't like
a
that.
Tumor.
You're only going to let them have parts? They can't go away whole?
All right, no one gets that one.
No, I gotcha.
And how about a Ballet for a Girl in Buchanan? Did you ever hear that one?
I may have, I don't know.
One of the first on AM radio for them. Incredible. You know, they started in 80, when was that? In 86, I think. No, not in 86.
No, it was earlier than
67.
That. Come on now.
67, you're right.
Yeah, I was going to say, they were full swing.
Yeah, 67, 68, 69.
They were in full swing in the 80s.
Yeah, but can you believe it? They're going to be so close, Eric and Kathleen. They're going to perform in Sedona on the 19th and the 20th.
If I was there, I'd go see him.
I think it's time to get an Uber or a Lyft, too.
That would be kind of pricey.
Oh, really? How much do they charge?
About half the amount to buy a car.
Oh, really?
It's not cheap.
Where did you
He's
call
talking about taking an Uber all the way to Sedona.
Oh, yeah, no. It's
might as well buy a
it's
car.
About half, it's about half the price of what a taxi would charge.
Oh, it's half the price of a taxi. Is that
of a
right?
taxi. But what I'm saying is if he's telling you if they picked him up here and drove him all the way there,
oh,
that he could have bought a car or half a car with the money.
It costs $40 to use Lyft from Cave Creek to the airport.
Oh. Is that good? How much would it be?
It was more than I thought it'd be.
Oh. Yeah, but that's way cheaper than it would have been to take
it. It would have been about $50-$60 of a taxi.
Wow. Well, I've never taken an Uber or a Lyft.
I like Lyft. They're the original.
What would you say? What's your critique, Eric? Lyft or Uber?
Either one. They're both the same.
They're
to
both
me.
Pretty much care. The same thing. Yeah.
And how are taxis doing? Is this has to be taking away some business from them.
Well, yeah, the taxis were lobbying against it, railing against it.
But know, the thing is, I'm sorry, but taxi cabs are kind of, I don't know, they're just, they always feel dirty and smelly.
They are.
And the thing is that if you get a Lyft that's like that, and they get 3 stars or less, they're going to be talked to, and they get another 3 stars or less, and they're done.
Well, that's what makes those like those car services better, Lyft and Uber, is because people are rating them.
Yes, immediately you rate their friendliness, the cleanliness, and if they try to cheat you by taking you a roundabout way, everything is tracked by GPS, and Lyft will give you a refund.
Well, because you have to follow the route that Lyft gives you as a driver.
Well, yeah, you should, yeah, with the GPS, so, yeah.
Wow, so that it's pretty clever whoever came up with this.
Well, another good thing about it is that the driver can also rate the rider.
Yes, and you can get kicked off of it.
Right. So if enough drivers don't like you, then they won't pick you up.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because they'll if you're not nice.
So how do you?
Or
but you have to sign
tips.
Up to be. A rider, right? They have to check you out a little bit or something. How does that work?
No,
it's all in the app. When you get called on the app, it'll tell you who the rider is, who's calling you, and how many stars they have.
Oh wow, how interesting! Now, so what are taxis going to do? I mean, is that going to put them out of business? You think?
I don't know if it'll put them out of business, but it's going to
About Lyft, okay? If you are fall down drunk.
Oh.
And
1 star.
You get a Lyft. It's one thing. But here's the thing. It's an automatic $200 charge if you Ralph in the car.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
What if your name is Ralph?
Oh. So, yeah. No.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I just figured that, that's kind of nice. And the thing is that When I take a cab somewhere, number one, they can give you an estimate of approximately, and then it's the same thing with Uber, that it's an estimate. But then when you get out, you have to go through the process of running it, having it come out, signing it, whatever, giving him the tip, all that stuff. When I got out here, I didn't even tip Dan until I was in here on the radio. We were talking about Dan when I finally sent him his tip.
Oh, unlike when we were in Florida once, I forgot what city it might have been.
I know,
Fort Lauderdale.
It was Fort Lauderdale, and they took my water bottle.
But not only that, so the guy gets out. I saw what was on the meter, right, on a taxi cab. And I said, how much? He goes, well, I think, maybe about 29. And I go, well, your meter said 21. He goes, well, okay, 21. And then I go, well, since he's arbitrary on this, I go, well, how about 15? But no, is that weird? I mean, I don't, it's sort of creepy.
He gets away with that a lot.
They get away with it?
Well,
yeah.
They probably get away with that, ripping people off a lot.
Sort of sad, actually.
But that's another thing about Lyft and Uber. They can't get away with that because it shows you on your phone how much it costs.
Oh.
That's right. And it's all done by the amount of time and the amount of miles.
Amazing.
And the cars have to be less than 10 years old.
Oh, so it's really quite good standards, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to get the founder of Uber or Lyft.
Well, Lyft was the original.
Yeah. Maybe we get the founder
and
talk about that.
Uber came out trying to say, wow, we're better, whatever, which they're good too. But a lot of the drivers, like we just talked about, a lot of the drivers and cars are.
Your Uber, your Lyft driver just called on the other line.
He did.
He did?
Dan.
What did he want?
He's awesome.
He heard that you guys have never had Uber or Lyft before.
Yeah, I haven't.
Offer you some free Lyft.
Okay. I could get a Lyft, yes.
Wow.
Yes, it pays
well, that's
off.
Awfully nice.
Thank
well,
you,
actually,
Dan, if you're a new listener.
Well, I will tell you this, because it's not my first time with Lyft, but I just uploaded it probably, 4 weeks ago, and I've used it quite a bit. But the thing is, when you first sign up on the app, if somebody sends it to you, they get $20 worth of free rides, $10 at a pop, and then you get $50 to use over like a 2 week period or something like that. So it's awesome. You can get free rides and see how great Lyft is.
Well, the way it works is you can order cards with your own code on them, and then you can give those cards out to as many people as possible, and you get paid a small amount every time somebody uses those codes.
I got to tell you, this is very
clever. Oh, that's
sweet.
Well, that's kind of nice.
We'll definitely get into the subject.
So that's probably what he's trying to do.
That's good. I'm glad. I would love to help him out, because I'll tell you, he was really friendly. He was really nice, and there's this big golf tournament going on, and so, you know, a lot of drivers weren't picking up for a short ride like that.
Well, it is innovative, creative, and historic. But talking about innovation, creativity, and historic, we now have joining us Peter Curtis Pardini, director of Now More Than Ever, the History of Chicago. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am great. I'm Dave, and we got Tricia here in studio, as well as Eric. And I'll tell you, I saw the screener of this film, and congratulations. This is your first, I believe, full-length film, and it is a good one.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're going to do well in Sedona at the film festival in which it's going to premiere. Is that correct?
That's correct. Everyone should come out to Sedona and see the movie. Pretty excited about it.
Well, it's really such a great movie. And, you know, I grew up in that era pretty much, you know, and I learned a lot. I had no idea. I always liked Chicago. I thought it was a different sound. I didn't associate it with, like, hard rock, but I was surprised in the documentary that they sort of hung around Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, you know, that's actually something that a lot of people say after seeing the movie is that, hey, I didn't know that they had all these songs. I didn't know that they, you know, like you just said about Hendrix and Joplin, there's a lot in there, especially with the band that's been around for almost 50 years. There's so many different personalities, and it's just all about, like, when you, you know, meet up with them in your life, you know. So if you started listening to them in the 80s, you're going to know more of their 80s stuff, and
right,
start in the 70s, you're going to be like, oh, I don't listen to the 80s stuff. So it's interesting that the bands had that kind of longevity and different personalities.
And they're still going, which is phenomenal. I believe they have, four core members still involved, I believed.
Yes, yeah. Four of six original members.
Yeah, which is phenomenal in itself. Now, what I was impressed about with this documentary is that you were able to get all this footage during each era, you know, when they started, like, in, 67 or 68, and on up till present time, you had all this film, and then of course you had interviews in present, you know, in right now, current day life, on interviewing a lot of the band members. How did you get all that film, especially from the past?
It was not easy. You know, a lot of the stuff, you know, the TV stuff they did, you know, I originally found on YouTube and kind of edited in, hoping that we could find the licensing for it. And we were lucky enough to find the licensing for almost all of it. You'll notice that there's some stuff in there that's really low quality, only like one or two clips in the entire movie. But beyond that, there, Jimmy Panko, who's still in the band, he, at the last hour, gave me hours and hours of, you know, 8mm film and pictures. So it kind of helped flesh out the movie even more, because most of the candid pictures and candid film you see in the movie belongs to him, and I was able to kind of have something from every era from that made it more than just a talking head documentary, because that was the last thing I wanted it to be, was just shots of the guys now talking about the good old days, you know?
Yeah, and I thought you did a phenomenal job piecing this together chronologically, by the way. And Jimmy Pankow is a trombone player, and he was very insightful, I thought. What I really also like, by the way, is the hourglass. It was really cool how you had that in, you know, at the beginning of some of the years, and how sort of symbolizing, I thought, how time runs out sometimes on groups and then it started building up again. I thought that was clever. How did you come up with that idea?
Well, my goal was to try to, like I said, was not wanting it to be a talking head documentary. I wanted to try to find a theme, and the theme of their career is exactly what you just said. So I thought it would be interesting to momentarily cut back to an hourglass and kind of show, you know, during the good times, you're not really focused on time passing, and then suddenly it hits you that, oh, all these years have passed, and we're still going. And so I wanted it to be more cinematic, and I thought that was a good way of achieving it, is by showing, you know, different cinematic ways of showing how time passes. And Robert Lamb, who wrote most of the early hits, I noticed that nearly all of his songs deal with time, and that kind of hit the light bulb in my head to try to find the theme connecting with that. So I that's pretty much it with that.
Now, you sound very young.
And I am.
I noticed your last name. And is that where you got the idea of using Chicago as the basis for your film?
Well, I started working for Chicago in 2010 because my uncle is in the band. And what happened was they were looking for somebody to basically come in for a few days and do behind-the-scenes work on their Christmas album. And I had just graduated college, so my uncle kind of recommended and said, hey, my nephew, he just graduated college, and he's a film major, and he would probably do this for free. And so Lee Lockman called me and said, hey, you want to come out to Nashville and do a behind-the-scenes for us? And, you know, me growing up listening to Chicago, I didn't even need to think about it. It was like, absolutely. So I went out there, did some behind-the-scenes work, and they liked it so much that they hired me and brought me on the road. And then 2 years later, you know, there was tons of band documentaries. I mean, I think right now there's just band documentaries one after the other. And I was thinking to myself, these guys should have one. And Lee felt the same way, and he called me and said, hey, why don't you start working on this? And then a month later, I started working on it, and now 3 years later, it's done.
Your timing couldn't be more perfect.
Oh, I know. I mean, I had edited the entire film, and, you know, there was a bit at the end about how they were not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And right after I finished the movie, they were inducted.
Yeah.
And imagine my both elation for the band and the horror of, oh, my God, I got to go back and open this edit again. But that's coming. I'm going to be going to New York in April and filming behind the scenes for that and editing it into the film.
Oh, that is awesome. I don't think people realize the success Chicago had. I mean, you know, it was in the documentary, it shows it, but it says over 100 million records sold, 47 gold and platinum, with 70 charting songs. That is incredibly high success, no matter what type of band you are, or what group you are. It's got to be in the top 5, top 10 of all time, right?
Well, they're of American bands, they're number two only behind the Beach Boys. Hmm. And they're number one, if I'm correct, I believe I'm correct, number one of any band in the 70s. They sold something like 60 million records in the 70s alone. So it's just the type of success you don't see anymore, just with the internet and with the ease of getting music now. I mean, Lee would tell me that when they released albums in the 70s, they would just print off a couple million before any were sold because they just knew it was going to sell that much. So it's kind of amazing to see how, you know, they had 11 albums come out in, I think, an 8-year period.
Yeah.
And every single one of them was a hit. So I just hope with this movie people see that they're not only, yes, they did ballads in the 80s, and they're great songs, and that's what they did in the 80s, but I hope people see the different personalities and see that they're not one thing. I mean, yes, they can do ballads, and yes, they can do jazz, and yes, they can do rock, but it's more about the music than trying to be what people are going to listen to. They followed their heart and wrote what they believed in, and then I feel like that's what people connected to.
Well, and they are still going strong. This is what's amazing. I mean, they booked this concert on Friday night, the beginning of the Sedona Film Festival, sold out like almost immediately. Thankfully, they opened up a second show. But it's like they've got new albums coming out, you know. I mean, I saw this, the Chicago's Love Songs is back, featuring 18 classic Chicago love songs. Is that?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean they're still in concert. I see that they've got upcoming shows that they're going to be doing. And it's just absolutely amazing to me. And the fact, like Dave mentioned, that they still have four of their core group of members, which a lot of the group bands that have group names tended to kind of, you know, go through various people, and they may have one
or
maybe none of the original members. Yeah. And this is just, to me, that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, they've, like you said, going strong. I mean, they've been going 49 years straight in February. I mean, it's not like other bands where, okay, they got together in 1962 and they tour every 10 years. Like, these guys have literally never stopped. I think at the end of the documentary, Lee says that the longest they've been off the road was 3 months, maybe six. And that's, they've toured every single year since 1967 and continue to make music. And, you know, it's I don't see any end in sight. It's just going to keep going until it's not anymore. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, now you have the family connection, and so you grew up with Chicago's music. Now, what are your friends your age? How do they react to this?
My uncle joined the band in 2009, so he wasn't always in the band, but I still listened to Chicago just because my dad would always have it on the radio and have just that type of music, you know, Chicago, Earth and Fire, that type of music. And I always grew up with it, so it was normal to me, and I just thought it was good music. But when I got the job with Chicago, you know, a lot of my friends my age were, you know, they did the whole joke of, oh, you know, are you going on tour with Journey too? And it was kind of said as if it was an insult, but I like Journey too, so I'm like, I don't know how that's an insult. But I eventually, the person that said that, I took them to a show at the Greek Theater here in Los Angeles, and they told me afterwards that, you know, when I came in, I thought this was just going to be some silly, you know, ballad concert, and I have to admit, I was completely wrong, like, to kick ass. So I'm glad that I'm able to convince. I pretty much brainwashed everybody. When I first got together with my girlfriend, she knew the songs, because she just, you know, it's kind of impossible to not hear the songs if you're older than a certain age. But she knows the lyrics to all the songs, and she said to me the other day, she's like, you've completely brainwashed me. So I'm glad I can do that.
Well, there's so many golden nuggets in this documentary that didn't feel like a documentary. It almost felt like people conversing, like I was in their living room talking to each member. It had that feel as a movie, as a documentary, which is an incredible credit to you, how you pulled that off. But some nuggets, like, you know, Hendrix talking, I forgot to which band member, saying Terry Kath was better than Hendrix. Of course, your lead guitarist at the time sadly died at age 31, however. But, you know, I don't think people knew how this band got together, and the documentary clearly describes these were the best of the best in Chicago. These were the brightest, the talent, most talented songwriters, singers, musicians. No wonder it has so much success and continues. Just a phenomenal movie. And wow, we're sort of out of time in the segment, but we're going to be in Sedona. Are you going to be in Sedona the 19th and 20th?
I sure will. I'll see you there.
I'd love to meet with you and have you on again, because people need to know about this incredible, what I call a love story, a family event, because they describe themselves as a family, the ups and downs and the brilliance of this band and what it meant to the music industry. Really appreciate you, Peter Curtis Pardini, for getting this documentary out.
Oh, thank you so much. And yes, everybody come out to the screenings on the 20th and the 21st. It's going to be great. Hope to sell out both screenings. Let's do it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, congratulations.
Yes.
Because this was your first endeavor, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I started at 26 and just finished at 29.
Excellent job.
Thank you so much, Peter. Okay.
All right.
That's Peter Kurz, Pardini director, now more than ever, the History of Chicago. And I guess we'll go on a break right now. Is that right, Mr. Eric? We will.
If that's what you want.
That's what we want. And we'll be right back after this break.
Shoot you right down. Off of your feet.